Blog Talk Radio.
Hey boy, I don't wanna waste your time, but thinking of you is all up in mind. Tell me baby, baby, what's your sign? 'Cause you're astronomically fine. And all maybe all I do is
think of the way.
The ways I wanna give you this ass,
just how you lie.
Feel like a Thursday, how I'm throwing it back. I'ma make it go north, south, east, west, coast. Baby, we can go north, south, east, west, coast. Just tell me how you want it, I got it. Who's gon' do it better? Nobody, body. Just let my hips take you on a trip. I swear they don't make them like this.
Take
her
away.
The ways I wanna give you this ass,
just how you lie.
Feel like a Thursday, how I'm throwing it back. I'ma make it go north, south, east, west, coast, west, coast. Maybe we can go north, south, east, west, coast. Yeah, yeah. I'ma make it go north, south, east, west, coast, west, coast. Maybe we can go north, south, east, west, coast. I'ma make it go north, south, east, west, coast. Maybe we can go north, south, east, west, coast.
I would play all the slow jam songs.
Play all the slow jam songs.
Like the quiet storm on the radio. And there'd be no need to rush.
Oh, no.
There'd be no need to
rush. No.
You can scream till I make your legs go numb like a tranquilizer. I promise to push so deep. I promise to swim so deep. Till you splash. Till you squirm like a water hose. As if the whole bay was on fire. And that means no tapping out. That means I'll raise the bar, baby. That means all of these things will come to fruition. Baby, now that I got your attention.
trying to be stuck in the loop of life. Told myself I wouldn't start my day online. From that shape and how they move. But is it just a deception? Oh, it drives my soul divine. Playing live, you can't give an amazing night to a lady on the side. When a baby and a tribe, enemies, 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 calling me Uncle Mike. Family, enemies, and a piece, a piece of the pie. Yeah, I'm sure all I know, but is it just a deception, or what drives my soul divine?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, let's talk about it. Well, we do date night differently. The dial-in number, if you're listening in online, is 319-527-6300. And please press 1. If you're already here and you desire to be a part of this conversation, go ahead and press that 1. I'm your humble host for the evening, Bam Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. And tonight's show is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be Raw. Let's give a huge shout out to our illustrious CEO, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the poet Douglas Baby Baby, who is also the CEO of Raw Link. So please, if you know the brother, hit him up. Say thank you for Epiphany Radio, or go ahead and get you some Raw Links, because I got mine. You got yours. And tonight, you're in for a treat tonight, because I have a co-host with me this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the one, the only, La Pearl, La Negra. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Ben. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing this evening?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Having fun with the music.
I was just getting ready to say, I forgot that I was having a show tonight. The music was just going so good. I almost didn't want to stop, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
We got to get to the topic at hand. Thank you first for agreeing to co-host with me this evening. I feel like I'm going to need a female perspective because, you know, I don't want to seem biased on the topic. But, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's topic, what happens when the relationship you committed to doesn't go as you expected it to? La Perla Negra, I'm going to have you start first. What happened?
Well, because I've experienced this several times, it never ends in a good way. Usually try to discuss it with your partner when you're being let down like that. Because, yeah, we all have expectations. When we come into a relationship, when it starts to get serious, you definitely have expectations. when, especially if certain things have been discussed about what will be done, plans have been made, and then they're not seen through or just totally disregarded, you really, really do need to talk about it. And if they're not willing to have that discussion, it's downhill from there. You try to work through it, but a lot of times if it goes that way, it's really the beginning of the demise of the relationship. I've always been a talker. I've always tried to work it out, but certain people, well, I can't say people, I have to say men, because that's who I've dealt with, were not willing to discuss it. As a matter of fact, they took offense to me bringing up the fact that I'm not happy. You know, I need to talk to you about something. We made plans to do certain things, and it seems like there's nothing actually stopping us from going ahead with these plans. So what's the problem? I don't want to talk about it. Or, you know, I've dealt with narcissists. You know, narcissists gaslight you, make you seem like you're crazy when you're talking about things, plans that were made and things that were said. And it just turns out really, really bad. And I honestly wind up just leaving the relationship. You know, that's how it worked out for me. Because, like I said, I gave it a wholehearted try. I never just abandoned the situation or the circumstances. But when you got people that are not willing to work with you, that's in any relationship. It could be a work relationship, just a basic associate, your friend. You have to back off from it. You really do.
Yeah.
What about you?
You know, for me, is if it doesn't go as I expect it to, ultimately we have to have a conversation. We have to have a conversation about, you know, what the issues is, what they are, how can we move past them. The unfortunate thing is, in that process, it has to be two people willing to work on those issues to make sure that you can even move past them. In my case, it's always been, I'm wanting to work on the issues, but previous relationship was, as long as she made the therapy, the counseling, from her perspective, she did all that she could do. But when it came time for me to make the counseling session, she declined to go or was adamant about not going, and she was done. So it showed me that it was just a one-sided affair to begin with. So even though I was totally committed, and I was, you know, it definitely didn't go as I expected it to. However, it was not my expectation that caused the demise. It was what God had allowed to have happen. So I just had to accept it. Doesn't negate the pain from it or how bad it was. I just still had to accept it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we do, and it has a lot to do with selfishness, one-sidedness. People feel like because they put forth a little bit of effort, there was nothing else that was needed to be done. You didn't have to put forth any more effort. It's a constant partnership that you must work on every day, not just once in a while. But it has a lot to do with selfishness, too. You know, a lot of people... It's a sense of entitlement as well, you know.
Right. Now you know. Before we get into these pieces, you know, my phone blowing up, my buzzer is going off. I'm getting dirty looks from security. They're talking about, bro, how are you going to have her hosting with you? When we supposed to get our hands on it, bro? What are you doing? So they're just going to have to deal with it tonight. You know, I done already told them, look, I'm the boss of this show. I make the decisions here, so they just going to have to deal with it. Now, I see them after the show outside in the alley, but as of right now, they just going to have to deal with it.
Not the alley.
So, yeah, out in the alley. I mean, we'd have been in the back. We'd have been in the alley a few times. You know, they bigger than me. You know, stronger than me. You know, but I told them, I said, if y'all like y'all jobs, y'all gonna just deal with it. I mean, I ain't walk away without no stuffers, but you know, it's what it is. What it is.
All right, I'm gonna check them on that.
What it is? Please. Handle your business, man. Thank you. I'd appreciate it. I really would. Now, do you have a piece for tonight?
I do. I didn't even read through this, but I'm going to try and get through this as best I can.
All right. The mic is yours.
Thank you. This is called Discarded Queen. It was always you and I up against anything in this chess game coup. But one day you decided not to rally your knights, leaving me to wonder how it happened or what it is I didn't do. No bishop, no rook. My king left me as just a pawn in a void. All that built up expectation from your promises. I was your queen, and I loved you intentionally, on purpose, without question or the slightest doubt in you about all of your former loves lost. Now my mind wanders often through the gardens of your past stories, trying to siphon through different roses you said all left after blossoming in your love. Foolishly allowing you to add me to your jar of hearts, while coming to the realization your words were just empty promises in the dark. I can't help but wonder, maybe, just maybe, did they wither away and die instead from abandonment as you've done me? I wanted one with battle scars because those scars say he's a survivor. And my scars could be explored without ever needing to be explained. That he would stand beside me in the battle and fight for me, with me. Thought our love was a bond of an unbreakable seal. Now they're just broken tracks I travel, rusted from my endless tears. And that's that piece.
Yo. This piece right here. I thought our love was a bond of an unbreakable seal.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did I think that?
Oh, man. Fire. Don't get me started on that. Thank
That's
you.
That's a dope piece.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank
I love
you.
It. I love it.
Thank you. Now, we're interested in hearing yours as well, because I know you brought something for us to listen to, no doubt.
I did. The piece that I brought for the evening is titled The Cost.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. I need a whole vibe session, thinking about all the life lessons I squandered just trying to be there for everyone else. I just want to play from my favorite tracks on repeat and vibe with someone else. So what the relationship I've been so committed to panned out to be false doctrine of what I was to do, being pushed out of my own dwelling space with nothing to comfort me but sad love songs from other broken people's mental space. Thinking to myself, you know what? I'm going to fight and stick it out. That's what. But the words from our vocalic venom tearing me down emotionally made me run into the arms of another woman. She made me feel so much more of a man than the one I was legally bound to. It's true. For years, I tried to do what's right for the relationship, hell, for my family, only to be done dirty by the one whom said she would forsake all others. Man, I should have listened to my brother. He told me don't do this. But I was in love from the first kiss. I just didn't know her saliva was laced with poison. So why would I have a reason to think that my words I uttered to her on one knee would end up eventually destroying what I thought was destiny. So I fought and I lost, no matter what it cost. And that's that piece.
Yo, let me say something. The pain in these words is very, it goes deep. You can tell you were cut really, really deep from that. Venom in her kiss. Oh.
Yeah. Not
man.
Just the kiss, the lava that came with the kiss. Because that kind of goes.
That's embedded. That's
yeah.
imprinted.
Exactly.
And it's alive.
Exactly.
That's mixed with your system. Ooh, it's hard to get somebody out of your system once they touched you like that. That's that piece. It's an emotional thing. It was beautiful, but it was really, really heartfelt and touching. That was an awesome piece.
Thank you. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Now, I mean, we could sit here and talk about my piece, your piece, but we got to get to the meat and potatoes of this topic. I mean, after all, let's talk about it, right? And you know, y'all here, I'm here. I mean, we dating, right? And I mean, that's what we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why not do what we're supposed to do on dates? Is get to know each other through conversation. So, first up on the mic, we have Mr. VIP, host of one half host of the Love Zone and host of Express Your Vibe. How you doing, Mr. VIP?
I'm good. How are you? Hey, Diva.
Hey, Diva. What's good?
Hey, I'm hanging. I'm here. How y'all doing
tonight?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good.
Well, heck of a subject. Heck of a subject.
Yes.
Oh. Mhm. So thank you. I had all of you in
mm-hmm.
mind when it came to me. So I'm curious, Ms. B. I'm really curious. What happens when the relationship you committed to doesn't go as you expect it to?
Well, to start off, he and I would have to have a serious talk. And if he does not change or does not do whatever or does not care, then he has to go or I go. Sometimes we have, per se, these expectations that are unreasonable. But mine are never, I don't think mine are unreasonable other than to be loving, be true, be honest. And communicate. You understand what I'm saying? And have a wicked sex drive. But that's besides the point.
Absolutely.
But if they can't, if they feel they can't do that, then it's a no. Really. I've had a little experience with that. But every time I had expectations, I got shot down like a bird in the sky. So sometimes it doesn't pay to have any.
That's a topic for another show. Oh, but I'm curious. I'm curious. So VIP, what I hear you saying is we shouldn't have expectations when we're going into a relationship. We shouldn't have expectations.
I'm not saying not necessarily. I mean, my thing is if I feel serious about someone, I'm actually going to, you know, straight up, can we talk a second? This is what I would like, and tell me what you would like. And then, you know, I can get it a little, you know, not saying ground rules, but just, okay, what is it? What can I do to please you? What can I do to make this okay? So this will not go to hell in a New York minute. So that's what I feel. Because, you know, like Danielle, I'm very easy to talk to, and I'm understanding, I'm compassionate, and I'm also thoughtful. I'm not selfish. So, yeah, I think everybody has some type of expectation, but I think you got to get it out in the open first before you dive on in
okay.
or go any
okay.
further.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think I've said this before in one of my pieces. We have to unlearn the expectations that we previously learned so that we can have new expectations from our experiences and see if the other person, if the other person's expectations line up with our expectations. And then we've got room where we can grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
because I agree.
Honest, I haven't met a person yet that hasn't had some level of pain from any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't met, and I'm looking forward to meeting one person that says I've never had any pain. Because I would like to talk to that person. So if y'all know
what I mean. And all because obviously they are not from this planet. I'll tell you something. Let me tell you something. We all have been through something. Everybody. If they tell you they don't, they're a liar. Because the key behind that is some of us are just better at hiding it than others. That's it. But I have a question for you, Diva, before you get into your piece. You said when it comes down to that and you want to have that discussion and you say, what can I do? Do you approach them with the, what can we do? Or you just leave it as singularity?
No. Well, once I say, what can I do? And then if he doesn't bounce back with what can I do? Because to me, in a relationship, you got to be a blessing to each other. You know, you're trying not to bring added stress. You're supposed to bring some added happiness and some enhancement. You know, once I speak my piece and he speaks his, and I'm like, okay, so what can we do? You know, that's how that is for me. I'll ask you, then you can get it from me, and then we'll, you know, see if we can come to a happy medium. If we cannot, then I'll. That's how I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Mm-hmm.
I love your response to this. I love your response to this. Now, what piece did you bring for us tonight?
Okay. I think I'm going to call this piece False Expectations.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. When we met, I tried not to have any expectations. In my past, it never worked until you, or so I thought. You whined and dined me, kissed me on my forehead. And I remember every word you said that you loved me and cared, called me your piece, the one. For a while, I truly believed you were supposed to love me, protect me, be good to me and honest. But you had to break my heart. Over a span of 2 years that I devoted to you, you managed to make me your last priority. Your lack of maturity when things don't go your way, always threatening to leave. And if you felt that way, you should have walked out the door. The man I thought you to be is no more. You call, you talk. Someone calls, you'll say you call me back, but you never do. When I don't call, you wonder what's wrong or act like nothing's happened, then say, what's wrong with you? So I'm saying farewell. Take your alibis and lies. And the wagon you rode on into hell to have any expectations. Now I don't have any, and I no longer want you. I deserve better, someone who loves me, honest and true. And that's that piece.
Tell him.
Okay. La Perla Negra, what are your thoughts?
I love her. You know, all her pieces are very direct. She has a purpose, and I always see her standing in front of whomever it is she's addressing and being very frank with them. I like that about her, and it always comes out in her pieces. And that line in there where you're talking about 2 years of dedication. What is it, dedication or devotion?
Over a span of 2 years that I devoted to you.
That right there alone says so much. Oh, my God. Because you do, you devote yourself. You dedicated, you're loyal,
you are all for it. And when it starts, when that your partner starts to fall away from that, you feel off balance. Your world is like topsy-turvy. Oh, man, I love that piece. I really, really do. Wow.
Thank you, Diva.
Yeah, I dug this piece, too. You know, your opening line intrigued me. When I met you, I tried not to have any expectations. The key word there with me is you tried not to, which means that you actually did. Within the piece, you talked about that a little bit more, and I can dig it. You know, I understand your point of view. I understand where you're going with this piece, and it's a dynamite piece. And it goes back to what Danielle said, is do you say, do you talk about it, or do you come and say, what are we going to do about it? So, yeah, you definitely lines up with your response. And I dig that. Great, great piece. Excellent, excellent.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, let everybody know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio Universe.
Well, every Wednesday evening at 9 Eastern Standard Time, my diva, La Pearla Negla, and I are in the Love Zone. And alternate Fridays, I host Express Your Vibe, where everybody just comes in and whatever you feel, spit on it. And that's it.
Awesome. All right. We're going to send you on over to VIP Lounge. The champagne is imported from London this time. So go get you a glass.
Oh.
Tell the security team to get out their feelings because she stuck with me tonight. All right.
Oh, well,
yeah, please
talk to
them.
Like Danielle does, but I don't think I
please,
can comfort
because
them.
I do.
I'll try.
Yes. I talk to Kalinda. I calm her for you, and I calm Roberto for you. So please do.
Oh, my goodness.
I do.
All right. Now.
Thank you.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Man, you laid it on pretty thick, huh? I calm Roberto for you.
I do. And when, look, you see how she be, how Kalinda be pressing that red button when you come into the studio? Like, I got to have my, what pisses her off is she can't get to you first. But she should know that you're on your way. We only keep you for like a couple of minutes.
It's just all that excitement that builds up within her that makes her act out. So it's okay. It's all right.
And who's responsible for that?
We're going to keep this party going. We got more callers on the line.
The invasiveness.
Next up, y'all, we got our favorite Canadian. We got Lady A. Lady A, welcome to Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. How are you this evening?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I am doing phenomenal. It's a beautiful Saturday night, you know, and I had a good day with my kids. I got a guest host because I need another perspective other than my own this evening, and I feel that it's only fair. La Pearla Negra, say hello to Lady A.
Hi, Diva. What's happening?
Hello, my lovely friend. How are you?
I'm good. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I enjoy the topics. I like listening to them and the different opinions. I have a big opinion on this one, though.
Lady A. So tell us, what happens when the relationship you've committed to doesn't go as you expected it to?
Wow. You know, I'm going to say this personally, but I think to start off with it, I think maybe it's a woman thing, a girl thing, but I think we have in our heart of hearts, we know what we need and what we want.
Okay.
Then we know what we see in front of us, and we know the red lights are there. and yet we continue to move forward through those red lights, knowing full well that it's not going to work. I think we ignore, I don't know if guys do that or not, but this is for me, and I think a great many women, I mean, they'll give up their careers to move, they'll give up pretty much anything for a man. But I think we have our own expectations and our needs mostly, and we toss them in the garbage for the most part, and we settle on something that we know is not good for us. I've done it, hoping that, not to change the person, but hoping that they'll be able to fulfill me in some way, and it's never happened. Once it happened, and I lost him, he died. But when I think about it, it's been a very, even as a child, I remember feeling that way, like, why can't my parents give me that kind of love that I needed? I needed it, still need it today. And, and then when I think about that, I think, well, why can't you just be satisfied with what you have? Why can't you be grateful for what you have? Why do you think you need more than what you have? And yet I sacrifice my needs in order to accommodate my partner's personality. And we're not talking abuse here. I'm just talking a regular relationship where you sacrifice who you are almost and the needs that you need fulfilled by somebody else. I mean, we can only make ourselves happy, but I'm talking about the icing on the cake here. And they can't give it to you for one reason or another. And you know that, and yet you accept it and think that you're less than. Because I chastise myself thinking, well, you don't have to have, why do you have to feel you have to have these needs that are in your mind, that have been in my life, that have been in my heart my whole life, and not be grateful and satisfied with what you have in front of you. And I feel very badly about myself because of that. It's important. I feel like, we fulfill our own lives and we make ourselves happy, but there's a hole, this is how I describe it for myself, there's a hole in my heart, and the only thing that will fit in that hole is somebody's love for me. Nothing else will fit in there. It's a very lonely thing because you know what you need. And it's not much. It's just someone to show how much they love you, show their affection towards you. And outside of, I'm not talking about people that are, womanizers or abusers around. I'm just talking about a regular relationship, an ordinary relationship that has, for me, I need an extraordinary amount of love. And if none is shown to you, we just sort of think, oh, well, I guess it's not real, or you're expecting too much. So I have a problem with that, because I think we can't settle for second best, because first best is out there somewhere. It's rare. It's where rare as hen's teeth. I had it once. And so that's why I know it's real and it's out there somewhere. But I think we give up and we beat ourselves up because we expect the best and don't want to settle for second best. And that's what causes the problems, because you end up with somebody who doesn't feel the same way about you as you feel about them, or they just don't feel the same way about love.
Agreed.
That's a big long story,
now,
isn't it?
Now, you said we expect the best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that there's anything wrong with our expecting the best. It's just a matter of what we determine is best versus what the person in front of you perceives as best, right? Because there's two different perspectives there. So, and I think that is why the whole dating process is important. Now, we all know that everybody can hide who they are through dating. You really don't meet a person until you've actually with them. That is all true. I agree. There's no argument from me there. However, during that dating process, there should be some lines of communication that are being had between you and the person that you're dating to kind of make sure that you're both headed in the same direction. Because I think that the differences in our expectations is good because it gives us each something to push each other to excel forward more. Now, you just can't put a time stamp on that acceleration because now it becomes kind of like that 30, 60, 90-day rule. Well, I got this rule, and you ain't met that rule yet. Are you going to push a person away because after 1 year, let's just hypothetically say after 1 year of dating, they haven't proposed to you yet? That's right. Your expectation.
Because you know what? I don't know if we're talking about the same kind of expectations. I mean, there's people that I know. There's a girl that I know, a nurse, that who had high expectations. And I mean, it was, you know, he had to have a good job. He had to have nice teeth. He had to be circumcised. He had to have all of these. Seriously, that was her list. That was her list of stuff. You know, and it was so unreasonable. And I'm not talking about those kinds of expectations. I think we're automatically attracted to people that are of like mind for the most part. But my expectations maybe are different. Yes, I just want someone to love me the way I love them. I want someone to feel about me the way I feel about them, and the rest will fall into place.
Absolutely.
You know, when you have somebody,
you know,
and I mean, I know people who are, I have a good friend of mine. She's, you know, she's known as a gold digger, and she went through until she got what she wanted. And that was important to her. It's not important to me because I feel that, you know, her relationships have been very shallow. I think the need to be loved is the most important thing that anybody in the whole entire planet needs to have. Without it, you don't survive. You struggle. You're lonely. It's empty. And you can fill your life with good things and do good things and be a good person and have a happy life. But ultimately, in the end, that hole is still waiting for that plug to come in and fill it. Nothing else can fill it. Some people will say that your spiritual beliefs, you know, that God can fill it. I've been down that road before, and I remember sitting after hearing testimonies from women at Bible studies that I went to and things like that, and that how you know, the Lord was everything for their life and fulfilled everything in their life and was the be-all and the end-all, and I felt like such a failure because that wasn't what it was like for me. He couldn't, you know, God couldn't fill my life with the love of a partner or of a man who cared about me. And that sounds maybe sacrilegious to some, but I just it's been like that my whole life. I can't explain it any better, I guess, but to me...
No, that's fine. You're fine.
To have someone to love you and cherish you the way we need to be cherished is paramount for me. And it's rare. You know, I didn't get it from my parents or my friends, you know, the man I married eventually. And divorced, and the only person that I did get it from ended up dying, and many years ago. And so, my expectations, I think people put expectations on cars and stuff, and jewelry and diamonds, and you know, expect that if you have a guy that can give you things, that that's the guy for you. Well, that to me is total BS. So,
I know that's right.
You know, like I mean, it's nice to get a gift, but I mean, if you have, if that's your whole goal, is if you can pay for your nails or your hair or your clothes or whatever, then your expectations are pretty damn useless. You know, because ultimately, man, when you've lost, when you've lost love, or whether it's through, you know, losing a child, your parents, or a partner, when you've lost, you know what the value of life really is, and it's not in the stuff you can buy or give to yourself. Nice to have nice things, yes, it is. I enjoy it, but it's, to me, love is everything, and the only thing that matters.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Well, thank you for being transparent with us this evening. Thank you for sharing that part of you. You know what we want to hear now? You know what we want to hear now? We want to hear that poetry, Lady A. We want to hear your pen.
Okay.
So go ahead. The mic is yours.
Thank you. This is called Storm Surge. I'm kind of emotional, so I don't know if I get through this or not. Cloistered, pain, my one companion. Absent was a listening ear, my rampart, my battalion. Voiceless, grief encased in steel, where thorns pierced and blood congealed. Words tumble into my brain, pen scratches paper as tears pour like rain. Tiny oceans fall off the edge. My pen bleeds out, clotting like sludge. Storm surges wildly. No comfort found today. And what reason is there to stay? Return to my paper. Hell roars within. Words fall off my pen. Heals brokenness and forgives sin. Knees buckle, I fall, scrape my ego, prick my pride. This journey is a hell of a ride. Gird myself with pen and ink, write past hate and betrayal until pulled from the brink. Beat up, not beaten, have lost, now winning. Let words spill out and release the storm within. And
poem. Wow. Wow. La Perla Negra, I'll let you go first.
You said words fall off your pen and feel broken. Is that what you said?
Let me see. I'm trying to find it here. I said that words tumble in my brain and pen scratches paper as tears pour like rain. But then I said, knees buckle, I fall, scrape my ego, prick my pride. This journey is a hell of a ride, and I gird myself with pen and ink, right past hate and betrayal until pulled from the brink. Is that what you wanted to say?
No, I thought you said words fall off my pen, but even
yeah,
still.
Yeah, I did. That's somewhere. It was just like, yes, here it is. I'm sorry. I return to my paper. Hell roars within. Words fall off my pen. Heals brokenness and forgives sin.
Wow, that's very therapeutic for you to write, and I think it is for most of us that do write. That was beautiful. Melancholy, but it was still beautiful. You just have a way of saying what you feel and what you've been through. I love the metaphors that you use. That was really, really a nice piece, lady. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You know, there are two sides of your pen at work in this piece, right? I liken it to like heaven and hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you talk pen scratching the paper, and then the pen bleeding out, and not being able to clot, but then you talk about the words falling off your pen, healing. So so your emotions throughout this piece were at war with each other. And I can tell that as you were writing, that's how real this piece came across to me, because I can feel and listen and hear your emotions just fighting with each other, and your pen trying to let you know you're going to heal. But then there's the other part of your pen that's like, nah, you're going to get this rawness, as I can tell you scratching this paper and I'm bleeding all out. Yo. This
you're exactly right, and that's how I feel about writing, because it starts with that turmoil and that kind of hopelessness, and as I continue to write, it's each word, almost each letter of each word, is like releasing some of that negativity, releasing the sorrow, you know, releasing the pain, and that's why I like writing so much.
I love it. Excellent work. Excellent work. Well, listen.
Thank you.
The VIP lounge is waiting for you. There's a glass with your name on it. And from what I'm hearing tonight, they're not letting any glasses be empty. So go over there and have yourself a good time in the VIP lounge, Lady A.
Thank you so much. Thank you both.
Thank you. You're more than welcome. Gentlemen, that is Lady A. One mic.
One love, one mic.
Wow, what an emotional roller coaster in that piece. Oh, man, I felt it.
Yeah, and that was a great interpretation you gave, too. That was decent.
Oh, man, I was listening intently. You know, there's some pieces that just tug at you and just pull at you, and you just can't walk away from it. You know, you can't turn your ear from it. It's just like, because it's healing, you know. I write from a lot of places of pain, so I understood that the pen wanted the pain, but her emotion was like, no, I'm healing. Wow, just that. Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, it's Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please press 1. If you're listening online, I am your humble host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. And tonight I'm joined by Epiphany's own La Pearl La Negra, helping me, because this is a male-female dynamic that's necessary in these type of topics. La Pearl La Negra, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling great. I appreciate you having me on co-hosting with you tonight. It's an honor, and I love this topic, even though it's triggering for me. And I know the rest of these pieces that these poets are going to bring in are really going to tug at my heartstrings, but I'm anxious, I'm excited.
It is triggering, but I tell y'all what, if y'all are triggered tonight and you need some help, dial in tomorrow night to the Inspiration Factory with your host, Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. And maybe you can get some of that healing and release some of the triggers that you're feeling tonight. I mean, because we'll be there for you, okay? The show is going to start at 8 o'clock tomorrow instead of 9 o'clock because it's Youth Poetry Night. So bring the youth, but come on through. So, yeah.
Oh, this is Paulie. Let the church say amen. La da dee la la la. La da la la la. La la la.
You're listening to Epiphany Radio.
Oh, well, excuse me.
On the For Real Entertainment Network.
Oh, well, he sound like he come from England or something. I don't know. La 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 la, la di di da da, la la da da di di da da, la 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 la. Epiphany Radio.
All right, next up on the mic, ladies and gentlemen, we have Amelia T. Davis. Hey, Amelia.
Hey.
What's going on?
Good evening. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Because you were kind of quiet there for a minute. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Hello, La Pearl.
Good evening.
I knew as soon as I put some food in my mouth, you were going to open my mic. I made some brownies.
Oh, brownies. Man, y'all know brownies are so good. Especially, you
mm-hmm.
know what? I don't care what anybody says. Don't make me no brownies and then wait till they cool down to give them to me. I want them brownies hot out the oven. I don't care if they burn my mouth. You understand? That is how good them brownies is. Fact.
I hear that.
And they're so chocolatey.
Chocolatey, moist, gooey. Oh, man. And I'm one of them kind of persons that likes the walnuts in my brownies too, right? Man.
Mm.
So I don't care if I make some and they just sitting around. You best believe I'm putting them things in the microwave to warm them up. And I just might throw some ice cream on them too. Oh, man. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't have those problems. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't have those problems.
Shoot, I just gained 20 pounds.
I know that's right. Well, Amelia, I hope you're enjoying the brownies. So go ahead, get it out your mouth. You know,
well, you guys were saying, Trigger, you know, you personally know that this would trigger memories of the past. And so that's exactly where I went to with this piece.
Well, before you get to your piece, darling, we got to talk about the what's triggering you before we can get to the piece. So, Amelia, what happens when the relationship you've committed to doesn't go as you expected it to?
It disintegrates.
I mean, geez. La Pearl and Negra, I guess she's straight to the point. It disintegrates. It's just done.
Like I said earlier, it's the beginning of the demise of the relationship. So, yeah, straight to the point. I mean,
disintegrates.
She's right.
No slow evaporation, Amelia. Just a complete disintegration just like that. No slow evaporation, just...
Well, I didn't go into detail because I do in my piece, but yeah, I have a line in the piece where I say, just like a mountain is eroded over time as an ocean waves continue to hit it, the relationship will slowly come to a conclusion. It's slowly destroyed over a period of time.
And you know, that's unfortunate, but that's what happens. You know, I too said that the only way that it's salvageable is if two people are willing to work to make it salvageable. In most cases, one person is just not willing, which is why we have the high breakup rate, divorce rate, whatever you want to call it these days, because, you know, things change over time. But I do agree. Disintegration, yeah, absolutely. There's not much more that you can say, because I've been there, you know?
Right.
Man.
And,
all right, Amelia.
Many times we're blind with love, and we don't see it as it's disintegrating, but you can also stand there screaming, yelling, waving your arms, jumping up and down and say, hey, you know, this is falling apart. And it can fall on deaf ears.
Absolutely.
No argument for me at all. No argument for me at all. I couldn't agree more.
I'll tell you, personally, true story, near the end, and I don't remember exactly when, I told him, I said, if our marriage was a human being, it would be on life support right now. Mm. And that didn't urge him to take any action to improve the circumstances whatsoever.
Wow. Wow.
Pretty deep.
That's showing me some triggers right now. Lord have mercy. Okay. I'm so glad I'm gonna be at the Inspiration Factory tomorrow.
Oh, you know I will be too.
Ooh, because I'm sure I'm going to
eat it. Now you see why
I
had to have some brown, some chocolatey goodness, because, this is bringing up all kinds of stuff within me. But let me get into my piece. It's called Love Gone Wrong.
All right, the mic is yours.
I was swept away by his charm and sweet nature, handsome, chocolate brown skin, eyes that sparkled and a smile that was like sunshine. His voice was pure gold, talking on the phone for hours at a time. Our erotic pleasures were heavenly. Whenever I was in his embrace, I felt safe and secure. He became my whole world. With my son added into our love hideaway on a mountain. Our place sat high above the city, looking out onto a beautiful vista. My son a toddler, smart and playful. I knew I had found heaven on earth. I never knew such joy before. Yet, as the years went by, our love seemed to fade. People worked hard at tearing us apart. Just like a mountain is eroded over many years by strong ocean waves, so our love was destroyed over the decades. Changes, life crisis, pain, heartbreak, eventually it in its totality destroyed what once was so beautiful. I went into the relationship believing we would spend the rest of our lives in a loving bliss. His wrongs, my wrongs, our errors of trusting the wrong people brought our relationship to an end. A sad, devastating circumstance, a situation that ended in misery. How I so wish I could go back in time in a machine and tell myself, don't do this or that, or to do this or that. He may have had many issues, but I wasn't an angel either. It takes two to make a relationship work, and it also takes two to destroy it. We both failed each other, although he did many wrongs. I was so blindly in love. I was so naive about much. I just didn't see the erosion in time to prevent the damage and devastation. He truly was my heart until the very end, although I was too scared to let him know that I still loved him so much. I felt my love had been used to play games and manipulated, his agenda to get over on me and society. Communication is key. Work out your problems together. Don't ignore the issues. When your loved one has problems with your behavior, talk it out. Listen to them. Address the problems before they spiral out of control. Accept that they have a right to their feelings. The moral of this story is tell those that you love, that you care, you love them, that they are special to you while you still have the chance to do it. Musings of Amelia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen, and peace.
One of the most important lines in that piece is while you still have the time to do it.
Absolutely. You know,
This was a gut-wrenching piece, Amelia. I certainly understood where you were coming from. I felt the pain. You know, as I expected tonight, the pieces, there would be a lot of pain in the pieces tonight, and yours is no different. But you stay there within the piece. You left it with encouraging words for someone else, and that's what I really appreciate about the piece. Excellent work. Excellent work.
Oh, Perla Negra. Thank
you. You're welcome.
You know, she says in her piece about love being love blinding you. It's so true, because we can have so much love for someone that it leaves you longing for them to the point where you just ignore everything else that they're doing that is wrong. We know right from wrong, and we see it, but we choose not to process it or acknowledge it. And that that is just as bad as being the one that is committing the crime against the relationship. That's a very, very heartfelt piece. Very, very heartfelt.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. I'm going to the VIP lounge. You know, I heard somewhere that champagne goes real good with wine. So, hey, I mean, champagne goes real good with brownies. So, I mean, I don't know how true it is. I'm so wrapped up in brownies. That's all I can think about when I'm eating them. I don't care less about a drink. But, you know.
I'll send you a picture.
Sounds good. Ladies and gentlemen,
right.
On our way to the VIP lounge, Miss, we have Amelia T. Davis. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Wow. What a piece. Wow. All right, y'all. I see where y'all going tonight. Let's keep this party going. Next up on the mic, area code 317. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. Who do we have on the mic?
Hello. My name is Not a Poet.
Hello.
I'm sorry, tell me your name again.
Not a Poet with K-N-O-T, Not a Poet.
Okay. All right. Welcome, Not a Poet. I believe this is your first time on my show, so I'm glad to have you. Thank you for coming through.
It is.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing
good.
Now, I know you hear what we discussed tonight before we get to your piece. So what say you? What happens when a relationship you're committed to doesn't go as you expected it to? Let's talk about it.
It usually just ends. I mean, organically, it just ends. If I'm not getting what I need, then I don't give them what they need, so it's kind of over.
Ah. Ooh. What? You were the first person that said that tonight in terms of if you're not getting what you need, you stop giving them what they need, and it just ends.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is a deep perspective.
I think organically that's how most relationships end, though. I think that we just choose to not accept that that's the ending of the relationship. People that hold on when they're not getting what they need end up bitter.
That's true. And it becomes hard for the next person that wants to give them what they need.
Ooh. Oh, definitely. So I try to kind of cut my losses early.
I get you. I know that's right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. She says it ends organically. I'm going to write that down. I'm telling you, I'm writing that down.
Well, I think it's a good writing prompt.
It really
nothing
is.
Else.
It
is.
Listen, I'm writing it down. You think I'm joking, but I'm going to use that.
I'm going to write it down, too. We'll see what we both come up with next time I call in.
Absolutely. That's what we're going to do. Absolutely. Y'all here. Y'all got your writing prompt. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It ends organically. You got it. All right.
I'm excited about it now. I'm excited about it, Mr. Poetic.
Good. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Now, tell me, what did you bring for us this evening?
Okay. I have a piece called Love Touched Me and Made Me a Poet. And it actually came from a writing prompt as well.
Oh, I like that title. Okay. I'm excited. Okay. The mic is yours.
Thank you. Okay. I remember when we first met, I was sitting in your mother's house, minding my own business when you came in, chocolate Adonis, or at least that's what you thought. I think my indifference intrigued you because you automatically attached yourself to me, wearing me down with your love bombs. I tried hard to keep my defenses, but eventually you snuck in. You continued to drown me in your affection, and I was affected by this disease we call love. I slowly fell into the deep pit that is you. I was comforted by you at first until you found I had fallen into the abyss of you. Things changed. You simply climbed up out of the pit, took the rope, and left me in the hole alone. You would feed me sparingly like that trapped animal that I became. I was in this hole so long I forgot how I got there, why I was still there, and why I couldn't get out. My senses became dulled more and more every moment. When you began to neglect me, keeping me starving and craving your love, I had become so malnourished I couldn't identify love anymore. I took random kindness for nourishing love until one day, with nothing left to lose and my life almost gone, someone walked by looking for me. She was love personified. She took her love for me and built me a stairwell out of that pit of despair and neglect. Then I climbed up the stairwell, and out of the pit, I began to see the light. As I got to the top, I grabbed her hand, and I realized at that moment that love had touched me and made me a poet. In peace.
Wow.
God, my God, my God. Go ahead, La Pearl the Negative. Please, go ahead.
I love this piece. There's that one line you said, the deep pit that is you. We do lose ourselves in them to the point where we can totally forget who we are, where it even started. And it takes a lot for us to finally come back to seeing ourselves again. It gets so bad. You don't even see yourself in the reflection in the mirror. But you do come out of it. Wow, that was an excellent piece. Thank you. Poetic.
Man, listen, this is, I need to hear a line, if you would be so kind. The line where you talk about falling into the abyss of you, can you please give me that line back?
Things change and you simply climbed. Okay, wait a minute. Wait. Oh, yeah, that's the same line. I was comforted by you at first until you found I had fallen into the abyss of you.
Oh, my God.
I actually fell in love with a narcissist. Yeah, I fell in love with a narcissist, and that they inspired this piece because, like, they hit you with these, like, overwhelming love bombs at first, and then they just leave you wherever they put you, kind of, so to speak.
Man, listen, I am so glad you fell in love with that narcissist and it caused you to write this.
Mm-hmm.
Really, This is a beautiful piece of art. And your expression that line that just, oh, my God, falling into the abyss of you, that's a deep place to be.
Yeah, it's endless. It's endless. It's endless and hopeless. It's almost like that movie, like the, I don't know, the nothingness of the sunken place kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how it feels to me.
Absolutely. And that line actually may help me understand why you were climbing out of that stairwell. Oh my God, the way you put that all together. Actually, man, this is a phenomenal.
Yeah, this is actually an ode to my daughter. She kind of pulled me out of it. And I just got to say thank God for children. Thank God for the love of your children, like real shit.
Yes. Well, listen, I'm excited. I am excited. I am so glad that you gave us a writing prompt. It ends organically. So that means in 2 weeks when we do the show again, you'll be here ready with your piece. I'll be ready with my piece.
For sure. I'm going to work on it tonight. I'm so excited. Thanks.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to work on mine probably tonight until tomorrow. But yes, but not a poet. We're going to get you on over to the VIP lounge. It got some bubbly over there. Like I said, it's imported from London, so make sure you grab your glass, mingle. Let everybody know who you be.
Thank you.
No, thank you. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Man, did she come through here and just give us, oh, my God.
Not only give it to us, she left us with an inspiring prompt to write something.
Yes.
Now I've got to, you know, push my pen.
Yes, and I am so grateful. Thank you so much, Not a Poet. We aspire here to keep pushing each other's pens, and these shows are for y'all, but y'all just don't know what y'all do to us when we get the inspiration behind what you say to us in your pieces, so thank you. Speaking of Epiphany Radio. Y'all, is it okay if we bring in the CEO? Is it all right? Ladies and gentlemen, Butler, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. What it do, baby?
Baby.
Hey, hey.
What it do?
Baby.
What it do, Ben La Pola Negras? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm feeling chilling. You know, I'm just sitting back listening. You know, taking in the vibes, beautiful vibration going on in the building, although, you know, some folks are reliving the pain within their pieces, you know, but it's poetry, and we're poets, and, you know, I'm just taking in that energy. You know I'm retired, right? You know I'm retired, right?
Yeah.
We know. We know.
I don't know why y'all keep opening up my mic and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
I know why. I know why. Because poetry is never retired. The physical body may be, but the heart doesn't retire. Your brain doesn't retire, and your pen definitely doesn't retire.
You know what?
What she said, baby.
Yeah, she fired.
I'll be there tomorrow.
She's fired. That part right there, she fired. That part right there. Well, you know, that's Miss Pearlie. She's the all seer over here. You know, she's very full of wisdom. You know, that was dope right there, Miss Pearlie. You got that one.
Thank you.
The pink slip on your desk, though. The pink slip on your desk for that one. Yeah, pink slip on your desk for that. Let her have that one, man. Don't be a part of that.
Listen. You hear this? There you go.
There you go. Oh, man.
Yeah, y'all always come back.
Now she broke it up.
She didn't. She broke a record. She came back the same day. Mm-hmm. Ben, you normally comes back the next day.
I do. I sure do. And yeah, I would. If you probably, I'd be back the next day. I'd be back the next day and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that.
I'd stop firing you, man, because it just, like, save my breath. For, I don't even fire them any longer.
That's probably your best.
I just call them after
probably your best.
I just call them after the show, you know, talk about football. Hey, but yeah.
But listen,
yo,
listen,
man.
We want to hear
yes.
from you, bro. We listen, Phil the poet. Let's talk. About
yes, sir.
It. What happens when mm-hmm. the relationship you've committed to doesn't go as you expected it to? What happens?
Okay, I'm not sure if you guys understand this. But I'm going to just say it like this. What happens is sort of like it's like a fart, okay? It's like if you have gas, okay? I use the metaphor. I use this as a metaphor towards what you just said. When it all goes bad and all that and this and that and the fourth, I look at it as like a fart. If you have ever farted and let the smell linger for a little while, it normally just goes away. You know what I'm saying? And you no longer smell it.
But it gives you that stench, you know? Though, that initial stench shock.
Yeah,
like,
the initial
God,
bomb.
Who let that out?
The initial you know, yep. you're living through the bomb of it. You know, you're living through that part of it when it goes bad. Depending on the level of it going bad or going wrong or not what you expected it to be or whatever, it's different levels to that. You know what I'm saying? There was times where I seen that it wasn't going the right way, and I'm trying to be real with this. I'm going to keep it real honest with y'all. There was times where I would do things to hasten, you know, what was going to happen. When I seen it not going right, I would do shit mm-hmm. to make you get the fuck up out my face. You know what I'm saying? Or you roll out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's different yeah. levels of it. You know, then there was times where, you know, I would make sure that would happen. I'm a little older now. I hear a lot of people saying, you know, I hear a lot of people saying about, you know, having these mature and grown-up conversations. Oh, well, you just, it's time to have that talk. I mean, when you're in that shit, let's keep it real. How many of you actually have that talk? Okay? Everybody say, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, it's time to have that talk and sit down and talk and discuss that. People don't talk and discuss that shit until shit gets real foul and bad. Then you can't take it no more.
Right.
And that what comes right. out in the form of an argument. So let's keep that real. I hear people saying that. It's time to have that talk and just say, well, things are not working out, and I'm finding that talk. No, come on, people. Stop playing. You're lying your ass off. You ain't had that shit. You know what I mean? You're sitting there with a broken goddamn heart. Okay? When you have those conversations, when you had enough, now you're talking about it, but you're mostly yelling about that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying
right.
to hurt each other within
right.
this argument. So let's stop with all that. So what I would do, like I said, I would do shit to get rid of this, get rid of the person, okay? But I'm older now, and I'm a little close to having that kind of time. You know, the last one I did that, but it was too much. The person I found out was crazy. It wasn't that the relationship turned out not to be what I wanted. The person turned out to be not who I wanted. You know what I'm saying? And it was just simply when I, you know, sometimes some things is not worth the breath.
Right.
As you can understand, people have different levels of understanding. And so I was finding out that the words that I was saying wasn't computing within this person. So it was
mm-hmm.
like, you know, not a poet just said it exactly. You know what I'm saying? It just faded. Let it fade. I don't put the energy in. When I see that it's not going in a direction or not flowing down that stream I want to flow down with, I let it dissipate. I'm not going to
mm-hmm.
put no energy in something that's not putting energy into me.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about it. If it's not going in the direction, man, I'm not invested. If we're not married, now marriage is something you have and you should work at if it's worth it. But if I'm not
mm-hmm.
married, it's just a relationship, and it's not flowing the way I want it to flow, you know, hey, fart and let it smell for a little while.
Hell of a metaphor, but okay.
Right.
You know, let's just keep it real.
Ladies and gentlemen, the views that are expressed here at Epiphany Radio by its callers and listeners mm-hmm. are their views of Epiphany Radio. Please do not attempt to try these things at home. If you do, at your own risk.
Yes.
Okay, great. So, so my brother, what I hear you saying is you literally would basically make the environment so uncomfortable that they just want to leave. Okay.
Uh-huh. Hey, that's right. Go, you know. Well, that was then. That was then. I ain't going to be like that now. I'm not going to exactly say that. I could do that a little bit, but I don't let them. The thing is, I don't let them get that far in the environment and establish with a bag or two in my crib.
Yeah, you leave them on a rim and you just break gas. Like, you stay your space,
bro,
stay your distance.
I'm trying to say. There you go. Bro, they used to move in. They used to bring carry luggage on the first date, but I don't allow that stuff no more, though. No. You stay at your place, I stay at mine. So I don't give them that, boundary is a thing. Boundary is a thing, bro.
Carry luggage on the first date.
Man, they be planning on what room they going to put their children in.
Damn.
I don't know no more. Mm-mm. Man, you take a couple of hits to the head before you learn. It took me a lot of learning, because I'm a loving guy. I love, romance, all that good stuff, man. I ain't got no.
Absolutely.
No more.
Okay. LaPerla Negra, what you got for real's comments? You got anything for his comments?
You know what? I agree with him. The age that I'm at now, like he said, when you're married, I did have that I got to that point where I was telling him, I ain't happy. And we need to talk, seriously. He didn't want to talk, but it had gotten to that point. And then after a while, he brought out the bitch in me, and I made it very fucking uncomfortable for him because he was pissing me off because he was being real selfish. And he always had this mindset, it's my way or the highway, do as I say, not as I do type shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, guess what? Watch this. Now you're going to see I got game too. Okay?
Yeah. You farted.
Yeah, I farted, and it did. It was tenacious. It was all stuck in his clothes.
Oh, my God. Not one of your farts. Yeah, I know.
You have not.
You had those chicken wings that night?
Don't take me there. Don't take me there. Okay.
Okay.
Don't
all
even
right, all right,
take.
My bad.
Anywho, I agree. But now that I'm older, if I was to get into another relationship and I start feeling unwanted, I'm not going to force myself on you. I will not put myself in a position where I'm going to be played to be made feel any less than what I am. You don't want me around?
Mm-hmm.
I'll pick up on that shit and I'm out. You ain't got to tell me nothing. You ain't got to throw rocks at me and tell me it's hell or anything like that. Okay? I'm good. You don't even have to put a spotlight on me and tell me the sun is shining because you're trying to emphasize on things that you find unattractive about me. I'm gone. It ain't that hard for me now. I'm trying to tell you. Okay?
I can dig it.
Mm.
Let me ask both of you something. I'm just a little something. When you speak on being in a relationship and it not being what you expected, blah 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 blah. What time parameters are you, would you put on that? Are you talking about a long john or one you just got into or what give me some flavor on that?
I mean, I don't think
it doesn't matter.
Really,
you just ask that question.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, because each person's different and their timetable may be different. Hell,
I'm just saying.
I just meet this person?
Beyond
7 years. It's up to you. It's up to your interpretation. Whatever. Basically, you're supposed to reach back.
Oh, if it's somebody I've been with for like 3 years and now I'm realizing that the relationship's not what I want after 3 years.
Yeah.
Because I did hear you mention this is, something about dating, and that's what dating is about and for.
That's the time we're supposed to check that out. And you know as well as I know, bro, henceforth your whole position, is that person that you just quote-unquote dating is not the same person that decides that you meet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we know we can't just go off to just the dating phase, because sometimes you're just dating the representative. And the real person show up once you decide,
bam.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and move in together.
Ooh.
We're going to
go
ahead and...
Oh, you're preaching.
Man.
You dating the representative. I like that. I like that, bro.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you just got... They're trying to figure out which representative that they are. I mean, some of them may be like, you know, if they bipolar, okay, then that would make sense. How many personalities you got? Let's talk about how many you got.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm dating personality, let me know when the rest of the personality is going to show up. Show them all to me so I can decide if that's what I want.
Yeah,
I mean,
you want to meet everybody.
I want to meet everybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was good. I like that. I feel better now.
Okay, awesome,
okay.
Awesome. But what piece did you bring for us tonight, bro?
Okay.
Unretired that pen.
I bought a retired piece. I dug into the archives. I just picked this. You guys heard this. I picked this piece out. It's called "I Painted Her." I need a new name for that. Maybe it's called a painting, a portrait, or something like that.
All right, bro.
That's what I bought. Thank you. Painted her. I painted her with my emotions, with emotions covering her canvas completely with who I was and how I felt about her. I painted her. I painted her with a brush dipped in everything that I've been feeling. Words, huh? No needs to be spoken. My heart and how it feels lay open, lay on display like a book wide open. You can hear its humming amusement. It vibrates in vibrant tones not meant for human ears, no. It pulsates in tiny waves, massages the insides where the soul lies. I be that, love. I be that. They say to be that what you intend to attract. Magnetic. So with a bit of me, I place in the atmosphere to see what it bounces back. I wait, using as allure my heart as bait, patiently, just to see what it attracts. Yet there's nothing in this air but thickness, getting hard to breathe in this, yet it clears, dissipates, it disappears, and the sky falls love on me, tender and sweet. Finally, love bounces back to me. She is what I catch, like a cold, contagious her. Contagions flood me. Her thoughts paint me, abstract. Sensations cover me. Her oily substance decorates me. Delicate fingers tracing vivid images. Illustrations illustrating her feelings. Iridescent imaginings she paints upon me. I'm her canvas. She paints me. Acrylic, fast drying. Her brush covering over stresses of a stained and suppressed past where most times was spent on just surviving. Her brush. Her brush revives me. See, I come to life the more she touches. Fingers brushing lightly against me. Creating this portrait of we, this work of art brought to life spiritually. This painting of her and me, resting, calmed, beautiful pastels, watered colors rise from this image that she creates of me. The oil paint hardens where her brush last brushes against me. Touching. What type of magic is this where we create our own images, bring them to life, and receive a kiss from the artist? Poetic, isn't it? So I reach out with these lips and plant them upon her. canvas. My brush, totally drained, depleted of its ink, I painted her. I painted her with my emotions, covering her canvas completely with who I am and how I feel about her. As I painted her, shadowed blemishes of dismay, I drew over her yesterday's pains. I caressed all her mistakes and left her no regret. I painted her, I painted her, I painted her with a brush dipped in unconditional thickness as I painted her. With a brush dipped in love, she was not worthy. Yet, I painted her. Eternal, forever I had hoped, yet time stepped in and spoke, and the paint dried on the portrait we painted. The images grew old, the relationship cold, and now I revisit the canvas, brush in hand, portrait we painted with just one image. Mine, holding a broken heart, unclothed, standing nude, knee-deep in snow, holding this heart that's been broken, and the other hand holding a portrait of her that was painted with a brush dipped in love, yeah, I painted her. I painted her. For real.
Sure. La Pearl, the next girl. Go ahead.
I'm her canvas. She paints me. She painted with a brush dipped in love. That is such a beautiful visual. It's so calming. So loving. It shows attentiveness and tenderness and the amount of love that you expressed for her and how she makes you feel like she not only calmed your spirit, but she stroked your soul. That's beautiful. I love that piece. Oh, all right, for real?
Thank you.
Go ahead, poetic. Damn.
Thank you.
Yo.
Welcome.
As you were spitting this piece, man, I was envisioning someone actually painting your words onto a canvas.
Hmm.
And that image is coming to life because you talked about her breaststrokes. Man, this was a phenomenal piece of art. And no, don't you dare change the title because you did exactly what you said. Leave that title as is, bro.
Okay.
This is phenomenal. Dope ink, brother. Dope ink.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you both. Thank you. You know, I hope it went with, to me, if I can add just a little bit, I think we all paint these portraits of ourselves in relationships, you know, whether it be a portrait or a picture, you know, and we want them to last, like I said, eternal in there, forever, I had hoped. But sometimes those pictures, those portraits begin to fade. The relationship grows cold as the relationship gets old. So that's what made me pick this piece out when I heard the topic.
Nice.
What's that song by Joe? Faded pictures in a
broken
glass.
In a broken glass.
In a broken
That's Case.
Okay.
That is Case. Yeah.
Isn't Joe
on there with him though? Joe is on there with him. Yeah.
That was Case featuring
I'm not
Joe.
Not sure. Okay.
Yeah, Joe was on
spoke
there.
It.
Yeah, he sure. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Dope, bro. Dope. So my brother,
thank you. Yes, sir.
You can go over there to the VIP lounge, right? But check this out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't break glasses over there because you paying for them if you break them. I know you're the CEO. I'm trying to keep the expenses down. So
yeah, okay.
I'm just letting you know.
Y'all got some smart shit y'all be saying to me over here. All right. If I had a show, I would,
do?
I would make that
fire
the next
us,
topic.
Retiree.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, you know.
Right,
hey,
right.
I'm not saying that. I'm not. Y'all got some smart. Y'all be saying some smart shit to the CEOs over here. This y'all show. I'm just gonna fall back. I'm having a nice Saturday poetry. I'm looking forward to the next person behind me. I'm gonna keep it nice. Y'all, not, I love you guys. Yeah, I'm gonna be real nice.
So
I'm gonna talk about you behind your back. Yes, right. I'm talking about you behind your back.
We know.
We know.
Yeah.
We know.
Baby,
baby. Baby.
Baby.
Yeah.
Ladies,
hey, one love, y'all.
Oh, one love, one mic. On his way to
baby,
the
baby.
Baby.
Yeah.
Take your socks off. Ladies and gentlemen, wow. Man, what a show. Let's just keep it going, man. Let's just keep it going. Next up, we got the host of the Tuesday Night Mania event of shows. Man, listen, we got Honey Drippers, War Council, Fly Speak. We got Marvel vs. DC coming up this Tuesday. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yo, this man, look, he even got Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Thanksgiving, and all that stuff. You know what? ladies and gentlemen, Mojave, what up, Hive?
What's going on? What's happening?
What's happening, bro?
Happening.
How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling like Bob Dylan, like Gilligan on the island. You know. Trying to make it make sense.
Okay.
What's happening with y'all? You're having a super dynamic show, I see.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
It's
dynamic, you know. It's wonderful. But you're here to add to it, so I'm excited about that. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that.
I may or may not be adding to it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm trying to figure it out, you know. I'm trying to get the appropriate feel to what's going on. You have some questions for me, sir?
I do, Mojave. What happens when the relationship you've committed to doesn't go as you expected it to?
You either work it out or you get the fuck out of Dodge.
I mean, hey, that listen.
I'll have you copy the hours for you today. I'm not long. I'm not going to be, as for real, will call me Chief Longwind. Chief Longwind is not here today.
Okay, all right, but you are correct, sir. You are correct. It's either you make it work or you get out of it. I think some of the craziest things that people do is try to work it out by themselves, because that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you end up looking like a fool in the end. I'm not going to raise my hand, but you end up looking like a fool in the end. But I definitely understand where you're coming from, my brother. Absolutely.
I mean,
work it out or get.
I mean, listen. I mean, if it is, you know, I learn all kinds of things. I get taught lessons on the daily. So my thing is, like, case in point, say you wanna talk about it, and that person doesn't want to hear you. They talk over you. They don't care about what you're saying. They just gonna do what they're gonna do. Yeah, on the dodge. Believe me, the first time they do. But if somebody's willing to actually sit down with you and you can actually untangle the cords, unfurl the roots, get things going, then that might be worth it. My thing is, you learn the most about a person when they're at their greatest, their happiest, and at their lowest, and how they
mm-hmm.
treat you in between. So,
yeah.
Person's
oh, yeah.
super upset with you, and they can still talk to you, that's something worth saving. That's something worth working towards. But if a person just automatically blames you for every single thing that goes on, they have no accountability, no emotional understanding of this situation, they just want to be narcissistic or blaming, then, you know, let that go. You know, in the long run, you know, you become more free, your hands become free, something greater will come to you. A lot of times, and most of the times, it's a waiting game. You're trying to figure it out. So until you actually see everything you need to see, it's more difficult. So Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So no long answers, just that. If it's worth it, you know, if there's a connection, if there's things that are going on, sometimes you wait, you know, and sometimes, you know, you never know what happens, you know. You can get somewhere and somebody orders an extra meal or something.
I know he couldn't behave.
I know he could not behave, could he?
I was trying to be good. I was trying hard. I was trying hard.
My brother. So what piece did you bring for us tonight? Now that we gotten that out of the way, what piece did you bring?
I'm sorry. All right, let me be serious. Here you go. You get my King Drip mode.
Can't do it.
Anyway, sorry. Let me try this. All right, let's try this out. See how this works. All right. All right. So, question. All right. Yeah, no, I'm going to go with this. Just tell me this is too loud. Oh, that's not it. Sorry. Is that too loud? Is that too loud?
That's fine.
Actually, I don't think that was it yet. But, you know, I'm all over the place. Let's see if this is it.
I've been thinking about you every night and day.
Oh, that's not it. So why can't I find it? It's bad. There we go. That's it. I know that there isn't any space between my words. There's only a path to my heart. I know that somehow you fit. Pushing out any remains, I've learned not to speak light the way you do. I know that my eyes are like the moon which reflects the radiant you. I've come to terms with myself. Learned to like and love me. Struggle still with physicality, since tasty treats still seduce me. I know I feel look like I feel strange, but I feel my soul creates beauty when I cry. My babies laugh and dance, have beaten generational curses. We're amazing, like a smile or a glow in any room. Half me seen and happy, calm anger I felt. The longing and late lease on love that never loved me, but to give me back me. Cause they are the best energy. I like how you coax flame. Speak soft. Send it a thousand leagues. Feel it when you tick me. There's no distance of synchronicity. You hold a part of me, an endless canvas where a place where melody paints soul. Kiss begets ardor. Affection begets wet. Desirous remains. It's just the art of intimacy. Passionate poses. I lick the petal of the opening of roses. And the smell is just as sweet. My feet firmly knocked from beneath. Sword tore from sheath. I will only battle for your release. Give you a wave of orgasmic peace. May my hands and mouth be vigilant. Fast for your fascination. Crown for your craving, bring rage and war, blessed by lovemaking, excitement. Please is more than a request, it's an action. I take you, I'm taken. You're my soul drawn, will be reborn in each moment. See contact, interact, lend, spend. The currency of spirit laden, become cupcakes. This is the moment. Our way. we are blessings. We are each other's blessings. Let's move past transgressions. Let's speak sweet. Let the air be on repeat, playing all the rhythmic things that we want to hear. Dance and flow. I keep you near. There's no fear between us. You mostly know exactly where I stand. And while you grasp my hands, I'll let you know that you're safe. We can't wait. Let's take this moment. Here. Now. So.
Yo.
Good night. The peace.
Go ahead, La Perla Negra.
Wow. Would you just say there's no distance in synchronicity?
Yes.
Say that. And I take you. I take you. Damn. You know what? You always make a girl feel a certain kind of way with your pieces, your tone, your cadence, those words, and you, even though you're soft-spoken in them, you're very direct with what you say, and you can't help but pay attention to it and feel it. I love this piece, man. It was dope. Poetic.
Hey, man, I got caught up with the orgasms, the petals smelling so sweet. Yeah, I got caught up in all that. My mind just went to a whole different place, and the music did not help. That was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
Dynamite piece, bro. I mean, just, man, what can we say? King Drip can't do. Major drawers with all that other kind of stuff. Well, even though we talked about
Wait a minute.
He just
wet
that. So, bro, let everybody know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe.
We got Marvel versus DC on Tuesday. Lots of arguing. Lots of Paul.
Lots of it. Lots
you know,
of
Paul Cade is going to be like, Paul Cade's like, you Marvel. Marvel. You know, he's going to be yelling. We're going to get Jordan in on this, too. We're going to get Jordan in on this. We're going to get everybody. We're just going to put everybody in. We're just going to have this free argue. Right. And I got sub-questions. One of my sub-questions is, who has the best black characters, Marvel or DC?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this.
This is going to get real argumentative.
And then
I got a Batman. I got a super Batman question. I got a stupid Batman question. This question is stupid because people don't want to admit the truth. You know, should I preview the question?
Sounds good.
Okay, I'm just saying, should I ask the question now? I should ask you. No, let's save it for the show. Let's save it for the show.
Oh, save it. No, we're not going
to. I'm
going to
save it for the show.
You know why I'm telling you to save it? Because I happen to be pro-Marvel, so definitely save it for the show. That's the DC. That's the DC.
You know us Marvel nerds. Us Marvel
absolutely
heads, you know how we are. We are absolutely,
I'm just going to hit him with a couple of what-if scenarios. Some of y'all DC fans will catch that later, but that's all I'm going to hit him with.
Yeah, true. True. Cool, but, oh, and I got a Superman question, too. Since you said the what-if. Because, you know DC tries to do what-if, but they call it different things. So we have nice comparisons, you know. You know, comparison is a thief of joy, but, you know, we go talk.
Okay. All right, bro.
All right.
We're going to get you over to the VIP lounge, your bubbly. They said they got a whole bottle for you They said, Mojave coming, we not going to give him no glass, just give him the bottle. So, bro, get on over there, stick around for the rest of the show.
All right, no doubt.
All right, one love, one mic, bro.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Mojave on his way to the VIP lounge. If you are still hearing the sound of my voice, congratulations, you have made it to the overtime hour. And think of no better way to bring in the overtime hour than with my brother, the other host of the Get Down, Epiphany Zone. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. DSP, J. Rob the Wise Son. What's good with you, bro?
I'm pretty good tonight. How's everybody?
Good.
Oh, you really do got Miss Danielle in the house. Hello, Miss La Pearl.
How you doing, J-Rob? The white son.
Let me say it like they do in the DC comic books. My dear, only my friends call me J-Rob. You can call me Wise.
Hello, Wise. How are you doing, Wise, on this fine evening?
Today's a good day, and it's always a good day to have a good day.
No, that's right.
I'm not complaining.
I have to agree.
And I got a shitload to complain about, but I ain't complaining.
No, that's
besides
right.
Anybody listening.
So what's good, bro?
I would have to.
You ready?
Have to come on after Mojave having such disrespectful things to say about DC and my God. In advance, talking about ho ho because I got some. You know, I'm a Marvel head, and I understand. I love y'all anyway. Be there for my hobby show.
I know.
I got a bone to pick with everybody who
if we're being honest, if we're being honest, J. Rob the Wise,
if we're being honest,
you're in the middle, DC and Marvel, you're in the middle, but you also have this affinity for Milestone Comics. Some of y'all need to go look that up. But
this is true.
I know my brother. So he's in the middle.
This is absolutely true. That is
so,
absolutely true.
He will defend both to a fault. But you better not
not
talk about Milestone Comics. You're going to have some problems.
If we're going to mention DC, you got to mention Milestone.
So, yeah.
Because there's two sides of that conversation. Because there's a conversation when you mention black comic book characters created by white artists. And black comic book characters created by black artists. Because in one sense, they were created because it was that particular time, and another was created because it was relatable and relative. But I'll save that for a Mojave show so I can get into that a little bit heavier and raise my voice a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Talk about it. Right. We doing that talk about it. We got a question on the table that I absolutely need to hear my brother's perspective.
I'm
going to
give you that.
What do you think, Danielle? What do you think, Danielle?
I just want to say one thing. Just one thing before y'all ask the question. One thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wakanda is a fictitious country. This shit don't exist. What the fuck, man?
God, my stomach.
But Captain America.
Wakanda forever.
But Captain America defends America.
Oh, regardless.
Have you ever been to Wakanda?
I've been to the continent of Africa.
The whole
have
DC universe.
Have you been to Wakanda?
But hey.
I'm trying to chill, Van.
I'm going to be there Tuesday night. I might sound a couple of octaves higher, but I'm going to be there. So, wise son.
Yes, sir.
What happens when the relationship you've committed to doesn't go as you expected it to?
Y'all have sex really, really hard one last time and leave.
Is that closure?
Dang. That's closure. Okay. Come and close.
Dang.
Come and close. Ain't no sense in prolonging this. We both know that this ain't going past tomorrow. We're probably not going to be really good for each other for the long haul. We ain't gonna, let's just kiss and say goodbye with no clothes on. And we can remember each other this way. You know what's funny? Because I've had that happen. Me and a young lady broke up, and I was in another part of the country, and we all happened to be there together. And she tapped my phone and was like, "Hey, what hotel are you at?" I told her where I was, and she slid by. She slid by for us to just talk for a little bit. It went from talking to us bumping uglies. And she was like, "I never want to see you again." I was like, "I'm good with that because I didn't want to see you anymore either."
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I was really good with that. She was good with it. We did the deed and took a shower, did the deed one more time, and let her take a shower. She skated off. We're still cool to this day behind that. She was like, "That's the coolest breakup I ever had." I'm like, "Why cry? Why cry? I got a chance to do all the ravishing things that I wanted to do. That I mean, it was the last time I was going to ever get a chance. So I pulled out all the stops and was like, all right."
Yeah.
Call her every filthy name I ever wanted to call her. It was okay because it was the last time.
We're not even. I'm not gonna get into that. The
I'm just
the name that you called her.
I'm bro.
Okay, bro.
She called me names too.
Oh,
call me names too.
Okay. Okay. All right.
It was a equitable breakup, physically speaking. It was equitable. It was over, and we bounced.
Okay.
I think all breakups should be that way.
That's good.
All breakups should be that way. Why be mad at everyone? I don't like you, and she's like, "I don't like you." All right, cool. Bye.
Well, you know. All right, so now I got to say something. Breakups are usually bad because only one person wants to end the relationship. That's when it's bad.
Not always, Daddy. Not always.
Sometimes in my case, J. Ralph,
both people.
Bye, son.
Well,
in my case,
then you have to preface it. You have to preface it that way, saying in my case.
And everyone else that I know that has gone through that breakup has said, "You know what? I didn't want the relationship to end. And she burned my Jordans." What? She threw my PlayStation down the steps. Girl, you know what he did? He took all the knobs off the washer and dryer. He even took mayonnaise out the fridge and left me the mustard. Girl,
he took the sneaker laces. Son of a bitch. He took my sneaker laces. He took the batteries for the remote control. That son of a bitch.
Babe,
left the left the remote control and took the cable box.
He took the cushions off the couch.
took the flavor out the chocolate. Now it's just brown frosting. Took the air out the tires. Let the hamster wheel spinning.
Oh, man.
There ain't even no fish in the tank, just bubbles.
Girl, he took the box spring and left me the mattress. You know how hard it is on a bed with no box spring? Especially when you make it on bed.
You took all the pillows. You know how much I love my pillows. And I can't find no bonnet.
Oh my God.
The nerd to take the color from the television.
Oh,
everything in black and white.
You know, we had tonight, we needed this laugh. After the show we had tonight, we need to laugh.
I agree.
Like he has the nerve to take my dreams. This bitch.
I can't even sleep no more.
I'm like, man, had the nerve.
What what piece did you bring for us tonight, bro?
I didn't bring no poetry. I just wanted to get on the show and say hi.
Yeah, that's not really going to fly with me. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Yeah.
I tried. Poetry in your arsenal. Are you going to tell us you ain't bringing you?
Mm-hmm.
So, bro.
I tried. Yes, sir.
The mic is yours. The mic is yours.
Okay. This piece is entitled Poetry Regrets. If I never get a chance to ever spit another rhyme ever again, if I never get a chance to make another spoken word friend, if I never get to hear them say they like what I'm saying or the music that I'm playing or the truth that I'm saying, if I'm never moved by another song or listen to y'all spit another piece all night long, if I never wrote anything you might like or hit the stage with that feeling of stage fright, if I never get a chance to ever be seen at another venue, if my joints may seem whack to you, and if I never seem to shake another hand or a fan saying, wow, bro, you the man again, if I never get to go overseas and tell stories like these, or if they torch the people that they say that they like these words in the breeze, just like Steph when he's hitting threes, I found out that I may not want to do in life as long as you remember what you heard tonight. Imagine what the mic would be like without me. But in my head, I said this is something like a symphony. But to some people, you're not really hearing me. Imagine if I tried not to continue, or if I never get invited to another poetry venue, or didn't believe Rob when he said that I was dope or talented. And he said he was talking to me like that ever since I was a little kid. Imagine if I could read some of this to my pop and to my big bro. Or the first time that I heard Fred say, yo, it's my baby bro. If I forget how to put words together as if it can seem like something that you might see in my dreams. What would happen if I supposed the fake to this place? That nobody knows what would happen to me. Or imagine what it would be like if you never thought of me. If I never wrote to you another piece of poetry. What if my voice went away today? Of you still want to hear my poetry after that day anyway? I need to say thank you with some gratitude. And I apologize to anybody who said I might have been rude. I just love to write dope hooks and people have to read. Maybe somebody will pick up something someday and say I read this about this cat in the book. Or maybe somebody will say something cool about me. The way they talk about James Baldwin, Sonya Sanez, Langston Hughes and Nikki Giovanni. But if God took the gift back, as a matter of fact, I might beg for it back. The way they begged for her not to leave me. But she still left because the poetry thing was still in me. But if I'm willing to write in anything else that sings like that sounds like a song, or find another thing that I can write for anybody to read along, and even if I can forgive the people who truly hurt me, thank you to my man Murder for reminding me about loyalty. Because after everything people said they knew about me, I don't mean no disrespect, but I have a whole lot of apologies, like having no kids and having a couple of bets. This is another thing that I'm talking about when it comes to this poetry regrets. So when I speak about a ton, and if I ever let anyone down, and if we all go through this together, poetry will never leave me because poetry will always be my always and forever. And if I ever never write anything else again, remember this type of a piece. because poetry will always be my friend. Peace.
Oh, 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 La Perla Negra.
You know what? Is the reason why they call you Wise Son? The exposure and the transparency that you give us, you know, that's such a dope piece. You give me this feeling of nostalgia, of being out in a park and seeing you perform on stage, but with a afro and a dashiki. It's just that's the vision that I get. I love this piece. Your wordplay is crazy. Wow. Poetic.
First of all, I'm just a little upset that he was coming to say that he wasn't going to say any poetry, and then he shares this. This is why this is my brother, y'all. It's one of the reasons. There are several reasons. I mean, we got about books long of why he's my brother. But pieces like this, because my man said that if God was to take away the gift, I would beg for it back. Bro, this is some phenomenal ink, Jay. You are truly a wise son, because this is something that you write to not only inspire others not to put their pen down, but maybe others to pick your pen up. So, bro, this is phenomenal ink, as always, bro.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate you. And I appreciate you, Miss Pearly.
You know,
it's funny. There's a brother hit me up earlier. And, you know, he said he's going through depression and he's going through all kinds of stuff. And I said, I want you to, you know, everyone's going through something, bro, but you need people to talk to. And that's what No Regrets is about. No Regrets is supposed to be a piece that describes, if I never get a chance to do anything again, I got to look back at all the stuff I've ever written and have no regrets, because like you and I have said and La Pearl have said, you never know who's listening to your show. And you never know who's going through something that comes on your show to just get some release for a couple of days or a couple of hours. Because what we say today may linger for a few hours or even a couple of days. But I told him that while y'all been reading all these pieces that I call poetry, no one will ever realize that there are times when I'm really, really releasing some of my most inner demons and ripping off dry scabs for all the mental shit that I've been dealing with from all so much other shit that I've never really healed from or gave a period to a sentence that has never really ended. But you need people to talk to, bro. And that's what poetry does. Poetry is that release.
Indeed, my brother. Indeed, indeed. Wow. Man. We appreciate you, bro. Can you, before we get you over to the VIP lounge, let everybody know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe.
I get to share the microphone with Van Meadows. I get to share the microphone with Essentially Janice. And I get to share the microphone with Chris Gifted, a.k.a. Divine Demon, on the poetry, Get Down Poetry Edition. Sorry, Poetry Idol Edition. So we want y'all to spit poetry like you would as if this was American Idol. And what's at stake? What's at stake? Whoever wins this is going to get an opportunity to host a Get Down for the month of April. Van Meadows and myself will be the co-hosts, and we get to spit whatever's on your mind. And night before last was really dope. People came out and stretched their pens a little bit. So, we the first time we let people in their comfort zones, it was all sexy and naughty. And you know, Thursday night, people came through with some stuff to make people think. And I'm wanting to hear what people got to talk about next Thursday. It's the last Thursday of the month. So let's hear what folks got to say. And our co-host essentially Janice and Chris Gifted, they just torched the microphone and are exceptional hosts to what we're trying to accomplish. So I get to co-host with Van Meadows and be free and let the ink flow, let the poetry drip, and let's touch people's spirits. So Thursday night, the Get Down, 9 p.m., Eastern Standard. Ain't nothing standard about what we're doing. That's me.
That's it, bro. Looking forward to it, man. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. We will crown a winner after the show. So please come through. Be prepared to write to the title, Unwritten Poetry. That is your title. So be prepared.
Now, Van, you know a lot of people are going to be asking us, what does unwritten poetry mean? What's unwritten poetry?
It's simple. It's poetry you haven't written yet. Hello, people.
Thank you.
But, nice. Thank you, J-Rob, for that impromptu. We appreciate you, good brother. Now, get on over there, man.
Always.
Get you a glass of bubbly. For you, man, they pulled out some stogies. They know that you're on a decline, but they said you got to have at least one drag, bro. So get on over there and have yourself
say less.
A good time.
Say less. En route. Bye, Miss Pearl.
One love, one mic, my good brother.
Bye.
Peace, King.
One love, one mic.
Love,
can
one mic. Ladies and gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, J-Rob, the white son, on his way to the Get Down for next week, waiting so we can crown a winner. Man, I'm so excited. I got goosebumps.
I am too.
But,
wow.
But I do have one thing to say before we close the show. Congratulations to my Duke Blue Devils for making it to the Final Four. That's right, y'all. That's right. They did. But anyway. Let's see if North Carolina can do the same thing against number 15 seed St. Peter's tomorrow. Should be interesting. Last words for tonight. We're going to start with my wonderful co-host of the evening, La Perla Negra.
Thank you. I want to thank you for letting me ride shotgun tonight. I had a ball. The poetry was dope. Of course, all the poets that came in was just awesome. They were very transparent. You know, like I said, this was a trigger. I really, really had a good time. And it'd be nice to do this with you again sometime, dude.
Absolutely. When I make sure I get a topic that's not so triggering, okay? I promise. We'll go back. To maybe
why do you love me? Our relationship don't have to end.
Lord,
be long,
Lord.
Right? We just work
Lord.
Together.
Lord,
okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give the rundown for Epiphany Radio for the upcoming week. Sunday night is the Inspiration Factor with your host Paul Sampson, aka Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night is King and Queen's Quarters with Queen Simmons and King Atterbury. Tuesday night, DC versus Marvel with your host, Mojave. Wednesday night is The Love Zone with Ms. VIP and La Pearl La Negra. Thursday night, y'all, you just heard my co-host, J-Rob, the wise son, the Get Down, as we continue the Get Down Poetry Idol. Friday night is going to be Express Your Vibe with Ms. VIP. And then Saturday night, y'all, it will be this lovely young lady and Stan the Man Phillips as they host Poetic Therapy, y'all. So make sure y'all tune in. Of course, remember tomorrow night's show is at 8 p.m. instead of 9 p.m. So without you, there is no Epiphany Radio. So thank you for taking time out of your schedule to let's talk about it and do date night differently. And for dating me and La Perla Negra this evening, it was a lot of fun. We had such a great time. The poetry was amazing. You are awesome. Shout out to our CEO who came through out of retirement for just a memento to give us his piece. But we'll do it all over again. See y'all in 2 weeks for another edition of Let's Talk About It. Y'all got y'all writing prompts. It ends organically, so make sure you come through with those dynamite pieces, thanks to Not the Poet. Now, I don't know what you got to do, but you got to get up out of here. La Perla Negra, thank you again for being here with me tonight, for co-hosting this dynamite show. And, yes, we will do it again sometime soon. That's a guarantee. So, one love, one mic, everybody. Remember to take your socks off, baby. Peace.
Peace.